Can I roll psychology to see if these guys are just really weird or if there's something, you know, concerning about them?
You can do that, but it'll be hard to do that without asking them a specific question and gauging their reaction. So you'll need to make a hard success.
Okay, that's
you need to go for it. There's no reason not to.
I guess. Okay, sure.
There's some sort of field around these.
Very interesting.
No, I think we're in the suburbs. I don't think there's a field around here.
No, that is not a success.
You have no fucking clue what's going on.
It's very faint, but I think I'm detecting an etheric signature.
You're so distracted by this shit that's going on with Petey that you're like, man, we are the weird ones, that you just think to yourself.
I'm silently loathing myself and everything and everyone.
Peter comes back in, and he's got a tray that has a bunch of different kinds of glasses. Some of them are like shot glasses, and some of them are just like regular ones, and one of them's a mug. And a big bottle of something. But the label is kind of completely worn off.
Does it have the literal stereotypical XXX
on
the label?
It might. It looks like the kind of thing that might. And he says,
it's just like a jug of liquor.
Well, with any luck, it'll be a scent.
He says, this is the oldest one from Robert's collection, so I assume that it's probably the most expensive, he says, and he puts it on the table.
Oh, I couldn't possibly.
How lovely. And would Robert approve of us drinking his vintage?
I can't do anything about it, I guess.
Well, there you have it.
He doesn't even like the stuff anymore.
Did something happen?
He thinks about it. He says,
bad experience?
Old?
Ah, fair enough.
Really old.
Real old.
Liquor is a young man's drink.
Oh, how long ago did he drink?
I don't think I was even here. No, I suppose he was drinking when I first got here. He thinks about it, and he starts to sit back down and says, do you need anything else? Or?
I think that's probably quite acceptable. Thank you very much.
Well, hang on. So he's getting the bills. Where are the items in question? Is it just the sabers now?
Well, the sabers are the only thing pistols in this room. You're not sure where the other items would be.
Yeah, we need to.
That's why I'm asking him.
Rifles,
I thought you were asking me.
Oh.
He says, I think some of them are probably in Robert's room. I don't think you should go in there. But
we can wait for William to return.
I'm right here.
No, not you, the other William.
I.
He says, I think that there are some items, he says with hesitancy, in what used to be the reading room. You could just go through that door if you want. I don't think that anyone will care.
Oh, excellent. But he will head into the other room.
I suppose we head into the other room.
She certainly doesn't want to have any alcohol.
Just to clarify, William did specify that we should wait here, right?
He did, actually, I think. So
he didn't specifically say
stay.
Wait in this room, he just said wait here.
Oh, well, he said that he wanted the other guy, the guy sitting in the chair with us, to, you know, look after us and watch us.
He's looking after you.
I mean...
This is up to you, this is personal choice.
I guess the thing is, this is out of character, by the way, just... This situation is overall, like, not that weird. We're in, like, at best, I might think that I'm in, like, a hillbilly hunting lodge, and I'm terribly out of place, but we're still just here to look at antiques.
You know, when you take advantage of your players by fucking them for being naive, they will try as hard as they can, and they will plot and argue and rules lawyer on why they should immediately be suspicious of any situation. Alternatively, you could be nice. For example, don't kill their parents as soon as they talk about their family, and don't stab them as soon as they take their armor off. Literally and metaphorically. My players here, specifically Fritter, are doing a wonderful job of just assuming everything is normal-ish, even though obviously something at some point is going to be not normal, and it's probably this? It's probably this. But you really can't force this. You have to have your players want to believe that things are normal, and to do that, they have to trust that you're not going to ruin their lives because they did. If you want more specific advice on how to foster this kind of relationship between you and your players, you're kind of shit out of luck because, I don't know, it didn't happen at first and then years later it did. I'll ponder that one.
Are there any
people might be?
Are there any hidden symbols?
Poor as fuck.
Within the architecture of this building.
Are there any Masonic symbols in the floor?
Yeah, give me an occult roll.
Occult again? Okay.
I mean, I don't know what else.
What that else could it be?
Oh, spot hidden.
True history.
Yes,
that's actually a history roll.
15.
That is a hard success, but not an extreme.
Interesting. Right before I explain that, did you take photos of the sabers or not yet?
I don't have a camera.
Kyle has the camera.
Let me give it a roll.
Start snapping.
I took a picture.
I'm
still carrying a fucking typewriter with me, waiting for William to return.
Okay, so Fritter, are you just going to wait in the main room and everyone else is going to the,
No, I'll go with the group.
I can wait in the main room. I'll wait in the main room.
If only to be a chaperone.
If it's like a long hallway, then I'll have second thoughts, but if it's just like right through a door, it's right there.
Yeah, if it's right through a door, if it's like a really long hallway with more doors and stuff, then I'm not going deeper.
No, the reading room is directly connected.
Perfect. You know, I actually have something that's not stupid. I want to listen to hear if William's, like, talking with somebody, if William's, like, skulking around somewhere. I want to know what he's doing.
Oh, you want to listen to the door that he went down?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, wait, are you being seen doing this by the dude sitting in the chair?
He is not fucking paying attention to you. He is back on that book.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Look, sometimes invisible books are very engaging.
So let's you go ahead and make a listen roll.
No.
You do not hear a goddamn thing through the door.
You fucking rolls, dude.
They're
holy
so bad.
Get him out of the way.
All right. Now, the rest of you head into the reading room, and Lex, you can join them eventually if you want to.
I'm going to pour myself a glass of the really good scotch. Wait, we have glasses here, right?
Yeah. If you're lucky, it's absinthe.
Wait, do you take the glass? Do you take the shot glass, the normal glass, or the mug?
Yeah. Important.
Am I fancy enough to know what's appropriate right now?
Make a... What would that be?
Credit rating.
Appraise.
Credit rating.
Credit rating.
Yes, you're right. That would be it.
I'm taking the mug.
You're taking the mug. All right.
I'm taking the mug.
You are going to get Gossett, fucking sloshed.
Or get out.
I don't know what's appropriate either.
Anyways.
Okay, we need to get lights out of here. He's full of hardcore
liquor. Head into the quote reading room, unquote. You see that there are... shelves here. So Charlie, you didn't notice any weird symbols, but you do, as soon as you walk into this room, notice that there are some weird-ass books on the shelves here.
Uh-oh.
Immediately, like, you can recognize some of the covers, because you're very familiar with stuff like that.
Oh, fascinating! Another student of the arts!
Before you tell me what you do next, there's a lot of other stuff in here. There are a bunch of things with, like, cloth dust coverings over them, including one that's suspiciously kind of saddle-shaped. You remember something about a saddle?
Yeah, the saddle.
Huge stacks of canvases here, like painting canvases attached to wood or something like that, just like stacked up really high. And there is a young lady who is painting one right now, just kind of in the middle of the
This is
hall.
Marvelous.
There's a couple other doors here. There's also a bunch of windows, which it's like there's a window seat. That's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, like a corner, like a nook window?
Yes, exactly. That looks out over the backyard, or not the backyard, but the side yard.
I want to take a peek out the nook window.
All right. So you take a little look out there. The woman has not noticed you, or if she has, she doesn't say anything. She is painting. You could tell right away that she's painting what she's looking at. She's painting the room from the angle that she is viewing it.
The scotch tastes like paint thinner. I can't do this.
All right.
Oh, God.
How much did you drink? Make a luck roll.
Okay.
Shove the entire mug. Like
50.
50. You got 53. You drank a little bit too much, we're going to be honest. You were like, people like this, so it's got to be good. It wasn't. So,
So you drank 3% too much? 6%.
I know that feeling.
Fritter, and, so you already said you're looking out the window.
Right,
so,
yeah, I'm looking out the nook window.
Charlie and Kyle, what are you two going to do as you get in here?
So is it just the saddle that we see? There's nothing else that could be?
There's several other things that could have stuff under them, you're not sure.
Well, I... immediately heading to the bookshelf and looking at not the books that I know, but the books I don't know. Unless there's an
old... don't know.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea.
I mean, why read a book you already read?
I mean, there's...
That is an interesting idea. Let me see what
books... Do you actually say that out loud?
I just say, oh, another student of the arts.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. if you don't say the why have a book you don't read, because that would absolutely get Charles to turn around and start giving you a talking to.
So you see a lot of these are actually like folders for note-taking with dates on them going back quite a few years, many years. It looks like
they're... how long are we talking, like 10, 20, 30?
Something in the range of like for up to 40, but it looks like they've been in different hands, so it looks like maybe different people have been doing something, logging something, who knows. You see, what books would you not recognize? Well, just glancing over them casually, you see a lot of stuff that are like revelations of such and such, or, you know, the secrets of so and so, or, you know, fragments of this or that. A lot of stuff that seems to imply that it is partial, to be totally honest. A lot of stuff that says like different translations on it, and you see some, but you see symbols that you recognize on some of them, maybe indicating that there's some interesting stuff in some of them. You can identify which books are probably interesting.
All right, I'll grab the one that looks the most interesting in my very thorough 5-second overview.
Gotcha.
And I start perusing it.
Who's the young lass?
Sorry, what did you say, Con?
I'm asking our friend who is the young lady.
Oh, you go back into the other room and ask, or...
Oh, is he still in the other room?
I thought he's just hanging out in the other room and sitting.
Not sure why not, going back in the other room. His young woman painting.
He says, oh, he looks like he's thinking about if it's okay to talk or not. He says, that's Annabelle. She paints a lot. Don't agitate her.
What agitates her?
He thinks about that and he says, don't talk to her or do anything. This is where we took a 15-minute break. I don't really have anything to say here. I didn't put anything at the start of this episode because there was kind of a lot of me just talking about the rules and concepts in the previous one, so I figured we don't really need it. How are you? You having a good time? All right. So, with that in mind, what would anybody else like to do?
I think it's time for you to start snooping. These guys look like they got a lot of secrets.
Oh, hey, what do I see out the nook window?
So you see a large yard, and you can honestly see like some water too. There's some portions where it's just wet. This is like one of the swampiest areas. You're pretty much on an island, but there's a bridge that goes across that you drove across to get here. Like, you could just wade across, but it would fucking suck.
So, like, marshland.
Yeah, it's marshland. Now, Charlie, I don't, you know, your backstory is occult, but we don't actually have a list of books you have and haven't read. But I'm going to say that you have not read The Key of Solomon, because that's what you're currently holding and taking a peek at.
I haven't, huh? This was locked in the secret library back at home.
I've read The Key of Solomon.
But your character hasn't. And so, yeah, Charlie, just for reference, you may or may not get enough time to actually do it, but are you trying to do a skim through?
Yes.
Game mechanically speaking?
Yes, I am.
Gotcha. Okay, so that'll take you a little bit to do. You can pause that at any time, of course. Now, there's a lot to explain about magic books in this game. Core principles, you can read books. Sometimes you'll gain skill points for doing so. Sometimes you might lose sanity points or gain Cthulhu Mythos, both of which I explained in episode 1. Now, you can do various levels of reading. You can do an initial reading, which is where you just try to get a general idea of the book. This will usually give you some points or take some sanity away, but it's not going to give you the full picture. And then I will tell you information about what you would get if you do a full read. There's usually a maximum that you can lose or gain from a book, so you don't lose more overall if you do a small read and then a big read, if you understand what I'm saying. Then, once you've read the entire book, if there's any spells or rituals or very specific pieces of knowledge, you can try to learn those. And you can also try to use the book as a reference to maybe identify mythos creatures or spells that are being cast or stuff like that. We will get into more details on that sort of stuff if or when we actually get there. Okay, and lights, you want to sneak about. So you have options. You know where the door to the reading room is.
Yeah.
You know the door to wherever the liquor was from. You know the door that William went through. And there is one more door on the first floor, and there's also the second floor with several other. There's staircases that go up onto a little balcony, and you can see that there's doors to the second floor on them.
Hmm.
Or you can blindfold yourself and spin around.
I'm thinking. Going upstairs seems really committal.
That last option seems really tempting.
Hmm. You know what, we got one unexplored door that doesn't have William behind. I think that's the one I think I should be going down.
Okay.
Yeah.
You open the last door and go through it.
Well, like sneakily, like I'm. Or no, not sneakily, like confidently,
Confidently.
Yeah, like I'm totally allowed to be doing this.
Okay, you're totally allowed to be doing this. Gotcha. Let me just check. Let's see here. All right, you open it. You see a short hallway. It looks like it's just got three other doors in it. One is at the far end, one is on the left, and one is on the right. You don't see anything interesting except that the door on the left is, like, in tatters. Like, it's blackened and falling apart completely. Like, absolutely, completely ravaged by fire. Destroyed, in fact.
Destroyed by time.
Hey, Amanda.
That's me.
Photos. Get this. This is weird.
Okay?
No, this is weird. They're, like, burning stuff in this house.
Wait, wasn't Amanda in the reading room, though?
Oh.
I'll allow it.
I believe I've been fetched. I'll allow it.
Yeah, okay, let's get some photos.
That's not good. It's 20 bucks.
Right.
It's fine. You know, it's just not a great photo.
Yeah, you don't really get the full door, but you get a section of the door as a photo, as both of you are in this hallway and looking at this burned door. You can see there's just, like, bits of the door that are missing around the corners, and you can see through, and you can see that there's just a really blackened room behind it. But unfortunately, with your shitty photography roll, you cannot get a good picture through the little holes. You'd have to open the door.
All right. Amanda, you keep watching. I'm going in. If you...
Watch for what?
Anybody that might be not wanting me in there. If somebody's coming, like, just make a loud coughing noise.
Incredible. All right, Lights, I need you to make a luck roll.
Oh, boy. I'm feeling really lucky after my other rolls today.
Okay, you got a one. The best
really
roll in the game.
Really goddamn lucky.
That's pretty lucky.
All right.
Can't argue with that.
You take the handle and you just gently push it, and the door just gently opens, and nothing bad happens. There's not even any indication that anything bad could have happened. There is no longer a bad situation. You see that this room is corroded. It looks like there was furniture in here. You can see a pile. It kind of looks like a bed, perhaps. It looks like it was either burned or, like, left, like, something corrosive was, like, sprayed all over the place. It's just all ashes and bits of wood. Even the floor and the walls. Like, the walls, it looks like this side of the wall is just completely burned away, and you can see, like, the inside part of the hallway wall through, like, the support beams, which are a little bit singed. And even the ceiling is partially destroyed. And you can see up and down. You can see into the top floor and second floor and into the basement through some of the holes here.
Yo, Amanda, get in here. These are some premium photos.
Premium photos?
Are they premium photos?
This is so weird. Like, what are they doing? Are they?
If you would like photos of fire damage, these are premium.
This is, like, not even fire damage. This is, like, you know, somebody, like, making chemicals.
Like a disco leaves burning stuff. Telling me that these are good photos of fire.
Yeah.
William, I'm pretty sure we're here to take photos of Civil War memorabilia, historia, regalia.
We're here to do that, uh-huh. yes, but we are here to, as students, learn. And this is knowledge right here. And you're going to walk away from this knowledge?
I'd like both of you to make a listen check.
That's a success.
Nope, not a success.
You hear a loud metal creaking sound from below you, and maybe some dialogue, but you can't hear what the words are.
Metal creaking noise, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Can I get closer to where the hole is so that I can listen closer?
Yes, you can get down on the floor and put your ear up to it if you want.
That sounds like a great idea, doing that.
Just try to put your neck right on the guillotine edge.
All right. Lights is about to get just the extreme.
How loud is an old-time camera? Pretty loud, I'd imagine, right?
Well, if you have a flash, it's making a big whoom sound.
So you hear a conversation. One of the people is definitely William, and the other person you do not recognize. And it goes like this. And you can interrupt me at any time if you want, or you cannot do that. You hear, "What do you mean, people? What kind of people showed up?" And William says, "Four people, they want to buy the relics, the items, your garbage that's littered all over. They want to do it right now." And the other voice says, "You're telling me that I had to go out and babysit this woman who can't do a damn thing, and four people just walk inside coincidentally. So I didn't have to do any of that." And he says, "It's not important. We don't need anything from them. We just need to sell them some things. Can you please come upstairs?"
Go away! Go! Leave! Go! Get out of here! All
right. I gotta go back.
Okay. You head out to the front room.
That was very sudden.
And then, do you go to the reading room, or are you just gonna leave?
Let's buy the things from them. I steal the information from Lights' psychological mind, psychic link, and I steal it. I say, okay.
All right. We're going to switch to the party. The players are pretty insistent that they figured out something wrong was happening here, as you'll find out later. Personally, I don't really feel like that conversation was suspicious enough to warrant that kind of reaction, but... I just wanted to move the game along forwards here, and we have 7 people. I can't harp on every detail. Whether or not the players deserve ridicule for becoming, quote, alerted, unquote, as if they were some kind of Metal Gear Solid guard, that's up to you. Only you can determine good from evil.
Party over here.
No, well, party over here.
Party over there. So you guys are in a basement. And I'm going to tell you why.
Whoa.
My God, you've been mazed.
The gun brought us there?
You've been mazed.
Now, this escalated quickly.
You have not been mazed, actually.
Oh, okay.
You remember that you got shown some of that weirdo book, and then somebody, the guy who was pointing the gun, he said something. You don't remember what it was. And then you all decided to get in your vehicles and go for a drive. You drove out further from town, across a little bridge. You remember the route you took, exactly. You parked. They said, you know, come on in. You went on inside. They said, hey, come down here. We're going to show you something cool. You came down here, and then whatever was making you think that was really normal was no longer normal. And you're in sort of a... Let me describe the room. There's, like, concrete floor... Wooden ceiling. There's some shitty, like, iron bars around that are preventing you from going to the other half of this room. And the other half of this room has some doors that probably lead to different places. But you can't get there. So you're in a makeshift big jail cell. And by big, I mean it's quite large. This is a spacious basement room. There's some pillars, which also are made out of... We had concrete. This is 1920s, right? That's not...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Are okay. Ray and Philip with us?
Yes. All 5 of you are down here. The guy with the gun is down here. The old lady is also down here. And so what happens is basically they get down, they're like... You sort of gain awareness as soon as you walk through the cell doors. You hear the door close behind you, and then you're like, wait, this isn't good. And the guy slams a little padlock on it, and then he backs up.
And meanwhile, you see the old lady places the book on top of a big stone pedestal.
Okay, can I roll literary on the book?
So are we just like kind of in a daze you're not looking while at we it anymore, walk down here, or like?
Sorry, what was that, Chief?
Were we like in a daze while we were walking down here?
You know, you feel kinda... like you feel like you were totally normal. Like you remember everything very clearly. You just don't know why you were doing that.
Did they tell us anything? Like, do we remember them saying stuff?
Yeah, I remember them saying, "We're gonna let's go for a drive. We want to show you the house." You know, and they're like, "Yeah, we can play croquet there. Don't worry about it." You know, stuff like that. Just saying, like, "Yeah, it'll be great." And saying, you know, "Oh yeah, come on in. No, come down here. We're gonna have a little get together." And then,
did he say something to snap us out of it? Like he said to snap us into it?
No. The fact that the cell is closing behind you is kind of what snapped you out of it.
Stella
and we don't. Sorry.
Seems alarmed, and she, as the door clinks, she spins around and says, "Why, you? What's the meaning of this?"
That's good. One more thing I forgot to mention: if you have any guns or like knives, they took that off of you.
I ain't got shit.
Just to be clear. So the man, you can get a look at him, and he looks pretty bad. He's pretty pale. He's got really long gray hair, but he kind of looks, it's sort of hard to describe. He doesn't look like he's that old, but he looks really fucked up. And he says, "Yeah, okay, I don't know. You could get out your system, yell at me if you want, or what have you." He's still holding a .45 in his hand, and as he talks, he's gesticulating wildly and just kind of like waving it around.
How's his trigger discipline?
Medium. Let's call it medium.
Let's stop waving. Let's stop waving that gun around, and let's just talk about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Situation.
Well, he kind of shrugs like he doesn't care, and he's like, "Yeah, you're so right. You are so right, my friend." And he puts it into a holster on his hip under his coat.
Thank you. So, what do you want? Money? Do you want? Do you want?
The Andersons chime in. They're like, "We've got money. We can give you money. No worries at all." I'm gonna mostly let you guys do the talking because this is a game and we're playing and I don't want to play alone. But understand that they are probably reinforcing the stuff that you are saying for the most part. So the Andersons. If this was a game with three people, I'd probably be playing them more. But this is a game with seven people, as I've said several times. And that changes a lot of things. You have to understand what gets changed when you have that many players. They're going to get a lot less time to do stuff. So I don't want to take up any of that time with NPCs doing stuff for them. They're basically backup characters in this scenario. If something goes terribly wrong, I can have them do something the players might have needed to do. Alternatively, if somebody dies really early, like way too early, I can have them play one of the Andersons if they would like to. It's not usually as fun as playing a character you know yourself and made yourself, but it's more fun than being out of the game, say, you know, 20 minutes in, if you refuse to play Graveyard Croquet, or no, sorry, that doesn't make any sense. If you refuse to stop playing Graveyard Croquet, if you get shot in the head, you get another character. This isn't paranoia, but sometimes you do get people advising you to make two characters for Call of Cthulhu. You know, if you die, then maybe your brother comes to investigate what happens. This is my version of that for this scenario.
We have money. What little influence we have to offer can be yours. We would like to simply go on our way and
I have a
forget
family.
About this. She has a family.
I'll give him to you.
That's not what I meant. I'm panicking.
The older woman says, "Well, I used to have one of those." And the man says, "Shut up. All right. I know this sounds real crazy, but we need you to read this book. And one
You're
of
right,
you,
it does sound real quite crazy.
We read the book.
I know. You glanced over it. You glossed over it. All right? I need you to look at this book. One of you needs to make a pact with the book."
Excuse me?
I know you're saying, "What's this guy doing? This is devil worship, maybe you don't care about that. You're more modern. You got sensibilities that I don't understand. This is real easy. This is a book. It's magic. It does all kinds of things. Really something. Every 15 years, gotta make a pact. If you don't, bad thing gonna happen. We don't want that. Nothing bad needs it to happen.
Why can't you?
Because I already made it. Boy, that was fun. The old woman is leaning over the book and putting her ear to it like she's listening to it. Like, she looks like she's listening for a heartbeat or something. And the guy is in front of her, so he's not watching what she's doing.
So you're saying that one of us has to read the book.
Problem is, it's hard to read. Makes you kind of upset to read it. Hard to explain exactly. We had a guy who was gonna do it. He is unavailable. The old woman starts laughing hysterically, and he turns around and he says, I told you to shut up, and I need you to not ruin this. Don't ruin it. She cools down a little bit, and she's just giggling a little bit, and she goes and she hides behind the altar with the book on it. And he turns back to her and he says, unavailable. That's the word I was looking for. Anyways.
Oh my god.
You gotta read the book. We got about a limited amount of time, he says, and he realizes that he doesn't actually want to say how long. We have a limited amount of time. After somebody makes a pact, I don't care what you do. You can go anywhere you want. Do anything you want. You'll get a whole bunch of magic powers. I could do crazy things. I've been alive for like a century, and I feel great. You want to bring your dead relatives back? You want to tell people what to do? You want to be rich? You want to be famous? Go ahead. Don't care. Make a pact. Easy. Who wants to take a look first?
So just make a pact with the book, and we're all good to go? We can all leave?
This sounds pretty sweet, to be honest.
He kind of hesitates and thinks about it. He says, there's some terms and conditions. You gotta read the whole book, otherwise it won't work.
Okay. So, read the whole book, and then we're all free to go.
Yeah.
And what does that mean exactly? What... God, happens?
What happens? When you read it? Or be more specific.
What is a pact?
Okay, so the book has some stuff it wants, and we have some stuff we want. We make a deal to do stuff for it, and in return it gives us some stuff. It's beneficial, mutually beneficial relationship.
Group huddle. I just kind of pull people aside. I'm like...
He says, totally fine. Take your time. Talk it over. You can all read it if you want. Get a sample. You can just have one person. I really don't care. Right. Go ahead. Take your time. He backs off. He plugs his ears.
Great. Okay.
What about the lady?
She picked the book up off the altar again, and she's flipping through it and going, ooh.
So these people are clearly off their rocker, and we need to tread very carefully here, I believe.
The Andersons are nodding. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm willing to take a look at their fake little magic book. I'm just worried that when we do so, they're just going to kill us.
It's not in English, but I understood it.
So at this point, a third person walks down. I've previously given a description of someone wearing a fancy little red jacket vest with white ruffles. He comes down and he says, Robert, 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 Robert. And he starts slapping the guy on the elbow who has his ears plugged still. And he unplugs him and turns around and says, what? He says, Robert, there are people here. What do you mean there's people here? And then the entire conversation you just heard earlier plays out. And then they left. Lights and Kyle left and didn't overhear the rest. But Robert says, no. We'll get him down here. Bring him down. Come on. And William says, no, we don't need to do that. We just need money. Do you know how far behind we are? Your furniture has mushrooms growing off of it. We need some new things. Just sell the stuff. He says, I will sell the stuff, but unforeseen circumstances. We need more people. Come on.
Compromise.
Bigger sample size.
Compromise. You don't sell the stuff. We give you the money and you let us go.
No, I don't need money from you, he says.
Money's money.
We need a little money, but you don't worry about that. Just...
What about this guy? Can he read the book? I point at Robert.
Robert is the guy you're talking to. You're pointing to William, presumably.
William.
And he says, yes. He did. And he points to the woman and he says, and she did. And so did the other two.
What a twist.
Two. Only two. Don't worry about it, he says. And he says, okay. And he goes and reaches for the book and he says, where the... And then he reaches and grabs it out of the woman's hands and he says, okay, tell him this is a book from the Civil War. And William says, look at this.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I agree with this man. Nice to meet you. Sorry, I'm William. We'll talk later.
Sure, you have me in a cage.
Yes, sorry, I'm really sorry about all this, he says.
Yes, oh,
He seems sincere. You can make a psychology check to see if he's being sincere or
not. I'm not going to bother.
Okay. He says, I am so sorry about this, by the way. Fate of lots of people at stake here. You look presentable. You look wonderful right now, he says. And he just points at Robert and sort of like gestures to him. He says, you almost look like you're not, you know. He says, yeah. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead. He says, no, just, they want records of the things. I can't sell it to them. They asked for paperwork. He says, I don't have paperwork. They're my knickknacks. So William says, just, can you tell them stories about it? Robert kind of thinks about this and says, no. Show them the book. They go on like this for a few more minutes if you want to interject anything else, by the way.
Are you asking Oscar or the asking the...
I ain't asking you.
Look, you said there's more people upstairs. Well, how about we give you some money and you bring those other people down here and stick them in the can instead?
Holy shit.
He's the eternal betrayer, the knife in my back.
I'm just asking questions here.
I'm going to bring the maximum quantity of people down here until someone reads the fucking book.
Oh, maybe you shouldn't bring anyone else down here. I actually think it's good with just the five of us.
He looks like he's about to say something, and then he stops and he says, you do?
Yeah, one of us is going to read it, for sure.
Yeah, sure. Give me the book. I'll definitely read it.
Okay, well, I don't believe you at all. No offense, but you probably have an escape plan already. I'm sure that's what you were talking about. Don't, everybody does. It's totally fine. Don't worry. I understand. Can't.
Wait, how many people have gone through this?
How many times have you done this?
Were you guys in a cage?
Normally, we don't have to do it like this because, like I said, we had a guy unavailable. Unfortunate.
Look, I mean, I'm here. I'm at the bars. I'm holding my hands out through them.
Book, okay,
please. I'm single. I'm ready to mingle.
Robert shoves the book to William. William takes the book and he says, "Okay, whatever." Anyway, we're going back to the students. William comes back upstairs and he says, "Hello, I'm back. Sorry about the wait."
William's back. I wanted to talk to.
You were gone for quite a while.
I wanted to talk to our dear friends.
I'm so sorry. I had to talk to Robert. He's being a bit stubborn. I have the.
Wait,
you have a fascinating library.
Wait, what? Damn it.
Sorry, what are you saying, Kyle? What are you trying to say?
Did we have no time before we got back and then William got back?
Yeah, you had a little time. What do you want to do?
I wanted to walk up to Frit, to our dear friend Charles Springer, and he's a vet, right? Is that common knowledge?
Yeah, I'm sure you guys know it.
Yeah, he's pretty stirred up. He's kind of fucked up.
I was going to say, you own a gun, right?
Yeah, it's in the car. Why?
I think this is a kidnapping ring.
That's, you have just said an insane person, an insane thing to Charles.
Hold on a second, there's some text chatter going on. Robert put the gun into his holster. He did not put it down, like, on a table or the ground or something, to be clear.
Yeah, I just said that.
You don't know that William has a gun, or not. You're unsure on that. You can scream if you want to.
I turn to...
Did you guys want to scream down there?
Is the grandma screaming. Still here, or did she also fuck off?
Robert, the guy with the gun, and the grandma, those two people, Robert and the guy with the gun are the same person, to be clear, are both down there with you. William went up with the book.
Well, there's four of us, and maybe we should just wait until... Is time going to pass, or are we going to cut immediately back to our moment?
Well, at this
because point... Because I don't want to talk during the student time.
At this point, you're basically both active, but
It might be appropriate to overpower them or scream.
Some of us are more active than others.
If you want to, you can all start screaming real loud.
He's got a gun.
You're in have a gun. A prison bar is...
I think it would be normal to scream. I think I would scream.
I would be trying to calm you down.
We just heard that there are people upstairs. I'm in a cage. It's time to scream.
Well, I can't stop you.
Ah! I'm going to slap her. Away.
Sorry, what did you say, Cheese?
I said I'm going to slap her. Just a little slap.
Just a little slap.
Just a shock.
Do you stop screaming when slapped?
Yeah, I guess.
Stella says, good okay. Lord, girl, get a hold of yourself.
That was easy.
They said there are people upstairs.
So upstairs, you hear somebody go, ah!
Smack!
I look.
Did one of you say something? Oh, there you are. You have a very fascinating library. Where did you get this book?
He looks at you, Charlie, and he says, he looks like he's going to say something else, and he says, yes, we do have a rather fascinating collection. Actually, could you look at this one for a moment? He says, and he hands you the big tome. Thank you for listening to this episode of, I almost said paranoia, Phantasms Flee the Deadly Cthulhu. Yes, that's it. Have a good one.